Sports Day for Kia. The super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy.
7 minutes past six. Hello, welcome along to Sports Day, day two of the Australian Open. Well, I must admit I'm still in shock about what happened on day one last night. The loss of the cocky absolutely floored me, but I am still on his team, and a big finals in the second week are still not behind him, in my view. I'm also in shock about the story of fat-shaming accusation that emerged today by an English bowler who wouldn't do a skinfold test. No wonder they were slaughtered. And I'm also in shock that the ECB have launched an investigation into Joe Root, having a big night and rowdy morning in Tasmania, drinking with the opposition. That is an overreaction of major proportions to keep them amused in England. But what I must admit I have been most shocked about today was to see our own Scoop hosting the Nine coverage on Gem. So in the one night, folks, we've got the captain of the ones at Channel 9, Todd Woodbridge, who heads up the coverage, and we've also got the captain of the twos in Scoop McClure. Welcome to you, Scoop. I nearly was floored.
Hello, Jerry.
I didn't know you were moonlighting. You've kept that fairly quiet.
Well, I sort of wrestled with this in my head for the last few weeks. You know, would you rather be a bit player in the ones,
yeah,
or captain of the twos? Not that I had a choice in the end.
So you decided to be captain of the twos just after they decided to be captain of the twos.
Well, that's right. We came to a sort of a mutual agreement.
How was it out there today?
I thought the atmosphere was better today than it was yesterday, to be honest. I mean, maybe people were just a little bit uncertain. Day one, we know it's a weird time in the world. A lot more people there today, and there were 12 Aussies in action. So there was a real buzz around Melbourne Park, which was great. You know, it was an overcast morning. The sun came out. It was 20 degrees. I got to be honest, Jared, as a lover of sport as we all are, and we know we've been impacted by crowds, today felt semi-normal. It was great. People were going from court to court. You know, if you're just catching up, just give
the ground pass people have recovered, haven't they?
I think so.
They've actually started to bring some energy to the place.
So as far as the big names, Medvedev and Rublev both got through in straight. Świątek and Muguruza both through in straight. Petra Kvitova is out. She got beaten the 20th seed. And then the Aussies, Daria Saville, formerly Daria Gavlova, now married, she lost. Sam Stosur keeps the run going. She came from a set down to one. Jordan Thompson lost in five. And Madison Inglis, I thought the story of the day, beating Leila Fernandez, who, of course, was beaten in the US Open final last year by Raducanu. That was a huge win. Inglis winning in straight. It's, I think, you know, all in all, it's been a really positive day at Melbourne Park.
The Thompson and Johnson match could have gone either way. One bloke I saw commentating on, at least I heard him anyway, Todd Woodbridge, captain of the ones down there at Channel 9. He joined us on the line. Welcome to you, Todd.
G'day, Dents. How are you?
We're going pretty well.
I was a bit disappointed by Tomo against Jono. Yeah. And Steve Johnson was more or less playing on one leg. And it goes to show that if you're prepared to take risks when you get into the back end of big matches or any sporting engagement that you might be put yourself in, you have a chance of winning. And poor old Tomo got so defensive at those crucial moments and thus lost in five. So it was 4 hours of time out there that I thought we would have another Aussie through, but not to be.
It's been a shocking build-up, probably the worst ever, and nothing came close to it. Do you think it's recovered to a degree?
I think we're recovering, Jared. I think all of us have sort of, I know the oxygen was taken out of the tournament this last week and it's, you know, trying to get it built back. And you throw in the fact that we went to 50% capacity in the main stadiums, not in the grounds like you were just talking about. And there's all these, but there's been these hits everywhere. And now it's about getting some tennis stories going. And you just mentioned Maddie Inglis, which was absolutely brilliant win for her today. Yeah. To beat the US Open finalist of last year. And look, I'm on the Kyrgios match to come tonight, and he's always good for the ignition, the starter, you know, the firelight of the tournament to get us going. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he can bring.
What about within the halls of Tennis Australia itself, who have been front and centre of all manner of negative feedback? How are they coping, the workers?
Well, I think everybody, the workers themselves, it's about getting this tournament up. You've been around the site. It looks absolutely spectacular.
Yep, it does.
That doesn't happen It doesn't happen in a month or 3 weeks. This takes 8-9 months of planning. Basically, when the tournament stops, it starts again. And about how it's going to look better, what can we do better? And I think everybody has realised that this is still the tennis tournament, still the Australian Open. There was talk about the Open might go somewhere else. It's going to hurt it. That's absolute rubbish. The tournament will stay here, and it'll continue to get better. And it will be, as we get into day three, day four, it will be about the tennis stories that unfold. And I think everybody that's working here understands that. We've all been around long enough that something will happen. And look, you look at the US Open, Raducanu, Fernandez, there was no Serena, there was no Venus, but there were still brilliant stories, and that is still to come here.
Just noticing Channel 9 News is on behind us, Todd. The Tennis Australia board has been silent, too silent in my view, but they have put out a press statement, according to the Channel 9 News.
We'll bring that to you as soon as we can.
Commending Craig Tiley for his efforts. So clearly they're feeling the heat and they feel like they need to support their man who has come under all manner of pressure.
Yeah, I've read the statement. It came out about 10 minutes ago. So it was a united front from the board, the chair, to support Craig and the entire team that you just asked about and putting it all together. These have been ridiculously difficult times. I mean, I've been involved in a lot of them. I've chatted with you all the way through this build-up of when we talked about with Novak becoming, 2 months ago. And at that time, there was so many different rules, so many government changes, both state and then federal. And so I think when we get down and we drill into it, it's just been like our last 12, 18, 20 months of life where every week we get a new rule played down. I think that's the difficulty that Tennis Australia had to play under. And their job was to get the best field that they possibly could here. And then we've seen it all play out. We're hopefully past even having to discuss it.
Jared, part of that statement, just really quickly, the board and the Members Association commend the Tennis Australia CEO and the entire Tennis Australia team for their hard work and dedication to delivering a spectacular summer of tennis. As the Australian tennis family, we recognise that recent events have been a significant distraction for everyone and we deeply regret the impact that this has had on all players.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be further inquiries and further statements come out, but it was interesting, Todd, that the French Open were absolutely unequivocal, not vaxxed, don't come. And and ultimately, I think when you have your own review, when Craig does his review, I think they will have to come up with a finding that the minute you blinked on that was the minute you lost control.
Yeah, interesting. I think in hindsight, people will agree with that statement from you, Jared. But if you go back 4 to 5 days ago, the French actually didn't have that rule in place. And once what happened here, they've now jumped on that. And I spoke to Neil Mitchell yesterday about this before it was confirmed that the French were going to do this. And they'd actually, it's come about by what has happened here. It's actually cemented in all other parts of sports and countries that are going to be playing tennis and probably other sports as well, that they don't want to have to go through this. So it's been a game changer globally, not just here in Australia, what has happened.
And this is the problem that I think all of us who were frustrated pre-Christmas had with you changing the rules, not you personally, but Tennis Australia. It wasn't originally a no jab, no play. And then all of a sudden it became a slight opening for those who wanted to come in that weren't vaccinated.
Yeah. Well, I think if you look at it in that perspective, along this little changing journey, the New South Wales government and the state, they then allowed non-vaccinated people into venues. All sorts of things like that started to change, and even the government here started to talk about that. So that's the difficulty that the body here, that TA, had to face. So one way or the other, we're where we are now, and I think it'd be great if we can get past it now and actually focus on the tennising stories that are about to come through, because we're not going to solve Novak's issue. He's going to have to solve that himself, and we'll see what plays out. You know, his tennis legacy is sitting on the table, and it'll be up to him to decide, what happens with the rest of his story.
So some of those tennis stories, Ash Barty obviously on the women's side, breezed through last night, Todd. Who on the men's side do you give the best chance of going the furthest? We've got the Demon and Kyrgios up tonight.
Well, I think Medvedev cruised through today. He was a bit like Ash Barty in terms of the way that he played. Rafa was really good yesterday. There's Jannik Sinner. He won today.
Looked good.
He looked really good. So he's that sort of long shot that can go to semis, and you're just not quite sure what extra he might have at this point. But, I've picked Zverev. to win a major. I think this is going to be his opportunity at this tournament, particularly now that Novak is gone. He can beat the rest of the field, that's for sure. But it's opened it up for Rafa. His prep has been absolutely perfect coming here. Got here early, wins the first lead-in tournament, has a week off to get the body back in shape, plays well in his opening round. Everything sort of, you know, he flies under the radar. Novak does his thing. He's got the experience. It's going to be intriguing to see what happens in the men's side.
So Rafa wins the Australian Open. I'm just painting the picture here. Rafa wins the Australian Open.
Goes to 21.
Goes to 21, and then he has got the French. So that means he generally 22. Goes to 22. I mean, surely that means that Novak gets a little needle in the arm. Otherwise, he's going to kiss goodbye the legacy that you talked about.
The jab in the arm is an incentive or actually get vaccinated?
Well,
let me ask you a question. Can I ask you a question, Jared? Is the legacy, are you the greatest if you have the more tournament wins, or is it a whole package that goes?
We've had the discussion long into many nights, Todd. You know that. But
what's the answer? What's the answer then?
Well, ultimately,
it's the package.
There is two ways to do it. If you don't like Novak, you go the package.
No, I'm not asking about that. I'm asking what you think.
Well, I think the only definitive one is the titles.
Now you think it's just numbers?
Well, I think
I'm disappointed.
That's the only definitive way. Otherwise, it's all subjective.
Speaking of definitive, can we settle this bet now? Todd, I'm taking you back to November 16.
Yep. Right. I feel like I'm going to lose this, am I?
Take a listen. It'd have to be a huge change of circumstances for him to come.
I would think he'll be here.
That's boy!
I'm only going by my gut. I've said this all along the last few weeks. I would be very surprised if he didn't.
Todd, I'm happy to offer you a wager. I'm happy to offer you odds as well, because I reckon he's Buckley's and none to come.
You know, he's still got time. There's no doubt. But
just looking through.
We'll have another conversation.
Just
about
looking at Dan Murphy's online in the Penfold section, Jared. I'm sure Todd's got a bit of it in his cellar, so we might have to make it interesting.
I thought you were a bit more of a Penfold Max's man. I can afford that.
Oh, that's a sledge to use.
Yeah, it was a sledge. But I'm happy. What I'm happy with, you be the arbiter here, Jared.
Yeah.
It's somewhere between a Penfolds Max and a Grange, isn't it?
Well, I wouldn't quite be able to tell you, but I suspect it's a $50 bottle. That'll settle it for you, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I reckon we could. I think we can go 407. 707, you know, probably
extended it too much. That was on November the 16th. You had that gut feeling, Todd.
Yeah, that was a pretty good gut, Todd.
Yeah, well, I thought he'd be playing. I didn't think he'd just come down for a quick visit to see.
No, but you were pretty confident he was getting in, though.
Yeah, well, I felt all along that there was going to be an opportunity for him to be here, but not in the way that it played out.
Wow.
Not in the way that it played out.
Are you disappointed that Cocky's not lining up tomorrow night against Rafa? I am, I must admit. I just thought it was going to light the joint up.
Yeah, I am. You know, it's interesting how experience and different things play out. You know, he goes and wins in Adelaide, which was fantastic. He had to keep playing over there, keep momentum after making the semis in the first week. But when he got here, he went with old instincts and feelings. So he went to play on court 3. And I chatted with Leighton about this, and we think that might have been a little bit of a mistake, because he'd been playing in Adelaide in conditions that were more like indoors with the covered roof.
Yep.
Now, if he'd have gone into John Cain Arena, that even with that roof open, it's a different environment. And you'll understand this from the way that the MCG plays to whatever we call it down at Docklands these days.
Marvel.
It's different. Marvel. And that he's gone out onto court 3, swirly court, difficult conditions, having to make a change, no matter whether you come from Adelaide to here, it's going to be very different. And that was a mistake of experience. He needed to go to something that was more similar to Adelaide. He probably could have had the choice to say to the referee's office, I wouldn't mind which court I play on, you know, could I play on that one? And I'm sure they would have tried to help that. So, you know, next time round, he'll have learnt from that. But, you know, look, it's been a great start to a season for him, but it would have been better to have him on tomorrow night.
So as you leave us, Toddy, you're more disappointed in that performance and missing out on Cocky perhaps taking on Rafa, or the second-year apprentice down at Royal Melbourne who put the poison in the spray.
Oh, you haven't gone to Royal.
And killed off a couple of greens, maybe six.
That's a disappointing one. 9 of 18.
Nine of 18.
So, Yeah. So there'll be some work to do. I don't want to make anybody feel any worse than they already do. Could you imagine the scenario there at the moment? Let's hope it doesn't take long to repair. We'll get back. You know what? If I took Scoot back down there, he might make a putt now.
Oh, okay. Oh, he's a nice whack on the way out again.
Yeah.
Well, you're the captain of the twos. That's the role
captain
of the captain of the ones
has just clipped me.
Nice work, Captain.
Thanks, Todd.
Sorry, Scoot.
Yeah,
good on you guys. Yeah. Thank you.
Todd Woodbridge there, captain of the ones.
Very good
golfer. The one time we played, he decided to shoot 300. It was extraordinary. And the good thing is that Grothy was on his team and they got smashed. More Sports Day coming up. The Royal Melbourne situation, we just did it tongue-in-cheek. It's one of the more extraordinary things I've heard about on a golf course. That place is a 20-year wait.
It's happened before, though.
30 grand to get in.
Yep.
And they're going to have to dig up 9 holes. Whew. It's going to cost them $250,000 a hole.
Lucky they got 2 courses.
More sports after this. Welcome back to Sports Day. We're powered by Red Energy, Cairns' most trusted energy retailer. And for Kia, check out the super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. Hey, we had a caller off air just in the break thinking about they got the feeling that we were trying to say that Tennis Australia knew something, you know, with Todd and with Craig Tiley. Did they know that they could potentially try to get Novak in, you know, all these months ago? Reminded me of a certain movie.
They knew, and they let it happen.
Bit of Mark Ruffalo from Spotlight. Recap from
Melbourne. You worked hard to get that
Melbourne
in. Well played, by you.
Yeah, maybe a little bit too hard in the end. Daria Saville out. She got bowled over in straight sets. That's Daria Gavrilova, married Luke Saville, by the way. Sam Stosur wins, so her 69th and last Grand Slam.
Well, that was a tough game, too. She did well there.
She did really well. I noticed that there were talks early today, a couple of jungle drums beating, that she might be going back on the It's My Last Grand Slam.
Oh, right.
How many times has that happened, by the way, in sport, where it's like, oh, this will be my last year or my last game, and then, oh, I might go on. I mean, Luke Hodge literally got carried off.
Indeed.
And retired, and then almost played another flag with Brisbane.
Yep.
Extraordinary. Jordan Thompson lost in 5 against Steve Johnson, the American. That was a very tough match. Jordan would be disappointed. Madison Inglis, as we mentioned, beat Leila Fernandez, the US Open finals from last year, in straight sets. That's the story of the day. And then a pretty stock standard day for the for the top seats. Medvedev and Rublev both won in straight, and in the women's, Swiatek and Muguruza both won in straight. Petra Kvitova, the 20 seed, that was the biggest headline away from the Aussies. She is out in the first round. She made a final, didn't she, a few years ago? I think she did.
I was reading Andrew Dillon in the paper this morning, commenting
AFL
on the
Andrew Dillon
rule, not changes, reinterpretations, no, tightening up, just making it easier on umpires. And he said, as long as they umpire to the rule. Well, after the break, Scoop, and after news headlines, I'm going to read you the rule about prior opportunity.
Time now for a sports update for Tyre Power, Australia's biggest independent tyre retailer, keeping you safe on the roads. Tyrepower.com.au.
Too loud.
We got Nathan Lyon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ruth. That's
Carrie.
No worries.
Jimmy Anderson.
I'm Ben.
Thank you. Just video this, just for the lawyers.
Bedtime.
See you in the morning, everyone.
Welcome back to Sports Day. The video that's gone viral, 3 Aussie cricketers, a couple of England veterans, Joe Root and James Anderson, kicked out of a hotel in Hobart. They're out in a balcony having, a late night beer, but it was an early morning beer. Just on 6:30, the clock in the background read. Lots of questions for me to ask out of that. One, Jared, how many blokes do you know that would be drinking a beer at 6:30 in the morning, having had their first one probably at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? That's a mighty effort. My second question is, and perhaps the more pertinent question, the police said the complaint was for noise.
Yes.
It's 6:30 on a weekday.
AM.
I mean, I know they call it slow bart, but people do actually go to work there.
Yeah.
Who's complaining at 6:30? Are you coming back from the gym at 6:30?
Not sure, Scoop, but I mean, things have certainly changed down in Hobart.
I call BS on that.
I can tell you now, at the end of every Sydney to Hobart, pubs are open and still going. They're going 24 hours a day. Because boats come in at 3 a.m., guys get on the terps and they haven't slept for 3 days. Boats come in at 5 a.m. They're going straight to the pub.
There's no way anyone at the hotel was complaining about them drinking at 6 a.m.
Of course not.
And please, for anyone listening, I mean, for goodness sake, we're past this, aren't we? They've just won the Ashes. They haven't got to be anywhere anytime soon, although I did note that Travis Head and Nathan Lyon are both playing in the Big Bash tomorrow, which I found quite funny. They're allowed to have a good time. They're sitting there having a chat, having a couple of beers. Good on them.
Scoop, the rule book.
Yes.
Prior up, this is Prior opportunity hasn't changed much at all. People have said to me over the years, we didn't have prior opportunity when you played and it worked fine. Well, that's nonsense, because if you listen, this is what it was.
Tell us.
A 1978 rule book says, the law permits the player who is first to gain possession of the ball time to dispose of it by kicking or handball. Therefore, an opponent who dwells on a player and holds him immediately he obtains possession of the ball, rather than going for it himself, should not gain the benefit of a split-second decision for holding the ball. The player must be given a reasonable time to dispose of the ball.
Is this next year's rule book?
This is 1978. The law actually favours the player who wins the race for the ball and the player who has the courage to go in and gain possession of the ball. Umpires, players and supporters should keep these facts foremost in their minds when interpreting
the
law.
Can we copy that and paste that into next year's rule book?
Well, that sounds much I'm not sure why we've had to complicate it the way it is. I mean, that stacks up.
It's complicated.
You need a reasonable time.
Well, you blamed Gill last night, which I thought was a bit nasty.
Well, Gill's he's a
non-prior man.
Yeah.
He's a Clarko man.
He's
Clarko is the captain of the non-prior.
Well, I think he possibly is. I mean, they can argue over the captaincy, but they're leading up the charge. I had a good chat to Clarko about team prior opportunity. I thought I had him over.
No, clearly not.
Because it does make sense. You take away prior opportunity completely for receivers of the ball, and you give more time to winners of the ball.
Glenn Maxwell is going to join us on the other side.
Actually,
Maxwell!
Get out of it!
Talk about X Factor, talking about having a night out. It's one of the most extraordinary catches we've ever seen.
Don't worry about catch of the summer. This could be catch of the BBL. The backhander.
Welcome back to Sports Day. We're here for Red Energy and for Kia. That was Glenn Maxwell doing Glenn Maxwell things. You know, sort of like their players in the AFL. Who would that be? Dustin Martin, Christian Petrarca, Lance Franklin. Well, they just do things that only their names can do. Glenn Maxwell has that in international cricket. Forget BBL.
Indeed.
He's got that in international cricket.
I agree with this. Some people said it's a fluke, but I've seen this bloke do so many flukes. Yeah, they're not flukes.
That's right. They stop becoming flukes when they become regular patterns of behaviour. And he does it with the ball, he does it with the bat, and he does it in the field. And most recently, have you been watching Seven's Big Bash coverage?
I have indeed.
When he's not playing, he's watching now special commentating.
Yep. And doing a fine job. He joins us on the line. Maxie, welcome.
Thanks very much, guys. It's a hell of a pump up.
Yeah, we did our best. We've enjoyed your work in the field. We've enjoyed it behind the microphone. Sadly, we haven't enjoyed the Stars form. Just so many issues have been negatively impacting on the result.
Technically still alive, though, Jared.
Oh, you know, as soon as you say that, you know you're dead. But nevertheless, Maxie.
Still alive.
Hasn't been a great summer so far.
Yeah, it's obviously been very difficult for us. We've had injuries, COVID, scheduling. It's been a bit of a nightmare season for us. But hopefully the Melbourne Renegades can do us a favour and keep us still in the competition. And hopefully we can do the rest tomorrow, because we still feel like we've got a massive effect that we can have on the final series. We feel like we're playing some good cricket in between when we're actually a full strength side, and we feel like we've got the list to potentially go all the way.
Well, I think that's where we had it. We spoke to the head of Cricket Australia prior to coming on, and it was pretty evident. He thought that the Stars had the list. I think most fair-minded people thought certainly semi-finals and a crack at the title.
You've got Maxwell and Stoinis in one team and Zamba. I mean, you're always going to be a good shout, right?
So it's been a bit frustrating, obviously, that you haven't been able to do it. How's the mood amongst the players and the coach?
The mood's really good amongst the guys. I think we've all been pretty realistic that we probably had three games this year which were always going to be difficult to win. I think the first game where we had a bunch of injuries, guys that hadn't quite arrived yet, so we played a really young side and against an experienced Sixers team that had all their players up and going. Realistically, that was probably going to be a tough one to win. And then the two games that we had, obviously, our team decimated by COVID as well as our coaching staff. So those three games straight away is obviously going to put you behind the eight ball. But we feel like in between that, we've played some really good cricket, and it's just been unfortunate we haven't been able to get our best team on the park enough times to really be up the top.
Let's talk about you and let's talk about George Bailey. I reckon your best chance of playing the red ball game now is that George Bailey is clearly breaking all manner of normal selection protocols. And I hope that...
Hang on, he doesn't need to break protocols anyway, though. I mean, they're going to an area of the world where...
Can I finish?
...where Glenn plays better than anyone.
He doesn't have to break protocols, but I think he does because he hasn't played for so long, hasn't played the long form of the game.
Yeah.
Are you hoping, Glenn, to get a call from George Bailey?
I certainly am. But in saying that, I've been in constant contact with George Bailey and and the selectors, so it's not like something I'm...
Out of the blue?
Out of the blue. So we're always talking about staying ready, and we've got some games against Sri Lanka coming up, so hopefully I can perform well there, continue to have the conversations with the selectors. They can see how I'm training, they can see how I'm batting and
bowling.
And bowling and fielding, all that sort of thing, and how you're going mentally as well. That's obviously something that's going to be pretty key for a lot of players going forward this year. It's been another hectic summer, another year in a bubble, a lot of hotel time, stuck in four walls. It's going to probably wear a lot of people down, not being able to get home. So that's obviously going to be something that is going to be looked at some stage.
Yeah, I reckon if I'm George Bailey, I'm wanting to pick a side that wants to go to Pakistan, because I reckon we saw evidence of what happens when you don't want to come to a country with the English, who spent 3 months debating will they, won't they, what are the conditions, all that sort of nonsense. Pick a side that wants to go to Pakistan. So do you want to go to Pakistan?
Well, I wouldn't mind going, but also I'm pretty realistic that I've got a wedding to get ready for, so okay. I've got my own wedding.
Things take priorities. Okay. Yeah. Well, we can squeeze that in.
Yeah, well, we're not really sure about that. This has been a long time coming, and we tried to book these dates 18 months ago, and we thought, and when we sorted the date with Cricket Australia, they said that the Pakistan tour was ending around the 8th of March. So things have obviously changed a fair bit since then, and that's just the way the schedule goes. Unfortunately, it sort of has to change to allow different things in. COVID obviously has pushed a lot of things back, and we've had to sort of try and reschedule a lot of things. So it's unfortunate timing, but I'm going to enjoy my wedding day with my beautiful partner.
Well, I'm just translating for Maxie here. It's that, Jared, I would love to go to Pakistan. However, Vinny has been waiting a long time for this wedding, and far be it for me to go against that wish. Maxie, before we let you go, can I just ask you, having seen the video, if someone had asked you which of your teammates would be having a beer at 6 a.m. the night after it started, Nathan Lyon, Travis Head or Alex Carey, would any of them have made the podium?
I think Gaz has been pretty good at these celebrations, and it didn't look like they were doing anything wrong. It just looked like they were having a nice time. They were sitting around. It didn't look like they were carrying on at all. So, pretty standard overreaction. But the guys deserve to celebrate. The way they played in that series was outstanding. And to not even have to bowl Nathan Lyon in the last test, it shows how good that bowling attack was.
Okay, so we need the Hurricanes to do a job on the Renegades, and then you to follow up and do a job on the Hurricanes tomorrow night. Is that right?
Other way around. No. We need the Gades to go tonight and get them done.
Yep, sorry. And then you need to beat them tomorrow.
Yeah, and then we'll hopefully get the full four tomorrow, and we'll see you in the first final.
Sounds good to me. Good luck, mate, Maxie, and we wish you well for A selection and B your wedding.
Thank you very much, guys. Cheers. Thanks for that.
Glenn Maxwell there, great friend of the show, and let's hope he's on the plane to Pakistan because he's good enough to be. But as he said, he's got a wedding to take care of. Hey, we're going to hear from a man that coaches present, Thanasi Kokkinakis, Tong Lagman, next. Welcome back to Sports Day. Just before we catch up with some of our chat from Todd Langman, the coach of Thanasi Kokkinakis, we should mention Andy Murray. Of course, given a wild card to the Australian Open, Jared. It's his first match here in 3 years. He's basically got half his body made of metal now. He's got a metal inserted in his hip. He's up against Nicholas Basilashvili. Well, I was always going to get that wrong. The Georgian 21st seed.
Oh, yeah, captain of the twos.
That's nasty. It is currently on serve in the fifth with Basilashvili serving at 3-4 and 15-30. So Andy Murray 2 points away from serving for the match. Let's get to Todd Langman, who caught up with us a little earlier, the coach of Kokkinakis.
Yeah, it's been crazy last couple of days, but obviously we do want to get through to the next round of the Aussie Open. But yeah, we would never change it for the world, winning his first title back home. So yeah, pretty special.
It must have been an amazing result. I mean, what did you put last night's flat result down? We know he's a much better player than that, but what did you put it down to? Simply come down? Was it fatigue? Was it physicality? What did you learn from that experience?
Look, I think myself, even walking into the stadium, I don't think I've ever heard a stadium like that. Right. You know, obviously when he won his first matches when he was quite young, the Gulbis match was crazy. But just walking in yesterday, I was a little bit taken back by the, I don't know, just the noise and how lively the place was. It was like a coliseum. And I think Finassi coming off the high of winning Adelaide, the expectation was against a lower-ranked player, but he just rolled through him. But the case of, you know, the challenger guys, man, they can all play. So, you know, I thought Hanfman played really well. I thought Finassi was a bit nervy to start with. And, you know, maybe, yeah, he was a little bit flat, but he definitely went through the right process before the match. Yep. And gave himself best chance to get up for it. And, yeah, it just that's professional sport, I think. You know, the cards didn't fall his way through the match. He just couldn't quite get ahead to bring the crowd right into it. And you could hear them. They wanted to come in and really get vocal, but it just didn't happen. So, yeah, all credit to Yannick and his team.
What about physically? Did you feel as if he was a bit flat, and would you do things differently next time round?
Yeah, interesting. I mean, we just had a sit-down you know, his trainer and other coach, Todd Lay. And we kind of talked a bit about that. But, you know, I think from where Finassi's come from with, yep. you know, his story, you know, once we sort of, you know, after the first week of Adelaide, him making a semi-final, just getting up for the next week in Adelaide was actually, it was yep. actually a challenge in itself. And, you know, as he kept going through the rounds and he started playing some pretty good tennis, the match against Cilic was outstanding, and yeah, we said, look, this is the priority. We want to keep going here, and we went all in at Adelaide as we do in every match, and yeah, he came out on the winner's side, and yeah, just it that was the priority, and we would deal with Melbourne when we got there. So yeah, I mean, I wouldn't change a thing.
Todd, in terms of volume, how much tennis do you want Finassi to play this calendar year? I mean, obviously it's still weird times in the world with COVID-19, but it's also a weird time for Finassi because it's been so long since he's had a good run at it, injury-wise.
Actually, yeah. I mean, like, you know, a year ago we sat down and put a plan in place, as we tend to do. And, you know, last year, you know, people don't understand it. He played 23 tournaments last year. Obviously, they weren't the pro tournaments, but at challenger level for the majority of them. But, yep. you know, he got a lot of tennis under his belt. And, you know, obviously when you play the higher caliber players, physically they're a little, you know, a little bit more demanding. So, look, we've got some goals that we want to try and hit this year. Obviously, we want to, you know, predominantly play pro events. But, again, like, if he needs to play challenges, we know that we can drop down there. And it's just a case of balancing out the right amount of matches for his body. And, yeah, the priority is getting him healthy at the end of this year, and that'll be 2 years in the bank with, you know, injury-free. So, you know, the trainer's doing an amazing job. Jonna, we got him from North Melbourne. So, yeah, we're just yeah, going pretty well.
Todd Langman there. You can catch the full interview on our podcast. Actually, really interesting stuff about Finassi. So, Andy Murray at 4-all-30 all in the fifth. I mean, this is a guy who has been to hell and back injury-wise, yep. and probably grew up at the one time in tennis that he didn't want to.
Maybe, Scoop, but I know one thing, given the amount of surgery he's had, he doesn't go off to see the physio. He goes off to see the mechanic, get a grease and oil change on that hip.
No doubt. So 4-all, 30-all up against Nicholas Basilashvili, the 21st seed. He's a serious player. So
It's a big scalp, isn't it? If he can knock him off.
Yeah, it's massive. It's massive. He's got game point now at 40-30. the green situation at Royal Melbourne. So they're closing somewhere between 6 and 9 of the greens.
Yes.
They'll be closed for 4 months.
Yep.
I wonder how the members are feeling. Perturbed?
Well, of course they'd be angry. They'd be disappointed, but, you know, you've got to get on with life. Somebody's made a mistake.
No, there's a bigger story in this.
What is it?
There are mistakes and then there are mistakes. This is the latter.
Well, somebody's put the wrong juice in the sprayer.
We're getting to the bottom of this.
It's a small mistake.
We're getting to the bottom of this.
But a dramatic outcome.
This is the second big story on Royal Melbourne and Sports Day the last 5 years. You are listening to Sports Day. We're here for the good people from Red Energy and for Wilson Homes. Jared Healy and Sam McClure with you for the next hour. Lots of tennis chat coming up. We're going to be joined by Peter Jono Johnson, the voice of tennis in this country. Not sure if he's come to terms of losing that bet yet, but he will at some stage. Todd Langman, the coach of Thanasi Kokkinakis, who couldn't quite get into the second round, but still has his first ATP crown under his belt from a week ago.
Oh, it wasn't Jono. He's I reckon Jono might be gloating because he did warn us last night about the come down effect.
He did. Yep.
He's on the money.
Well, you'd want to be on the money about that. He wasn't about Novak.
No, I'm talking about Jono, not Todd.
No, I'm speaking about Jono as well. Jono.
Oh, yes, of course.
He was Jono and Todd are two peas in the pod at the moment.
Who's in that pod?
There's a few people in the pod. We'll start with tennis. So Ash Barty got it done easily last night. I was on the money again after saying it was a curly first round opponent. Yeah, yeah. She took one game off her. Lucia Cherenko let me down a little bit. Good news for the Aussies. So she absolutely breezed through. Sam Stosur, what about that today? I was on air as that was happening, Jared.
Yes.
And look, we all know
Did you say you're on air? Are you calling the tennis?
No, I'm hosting Gem.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Which is the secondary channel.
Okay.
Haven't got a whole lot of feedback about my performance. Zoe, I can hear you speaking to Jared through his headphones. There's no one watching. Very funny. That's not true.
I saw that on in the gym.
My mum would have been watching.
I saw that on in the gym. There were two feeds. I was actually trying to download 9 Now today.
Yeah.
But you've got to go onto your phone, download it there, then get your number. It's a multi.
It's good, though, once you get like, the app's really
I'll be very keen to get it because I don't have to watch you.
Yeah. Well, so that's quite the funny thing is that most people that aren't watching the main channel are on the app picking their match.
Yes.
There's not a whole lot of people that are going, I won't watch the main channel. What I'll do is I'll watch Sam on Jim.
Well, I can't get Jim.
Okay. Well, that's good. Anyway, we're going
we're
well.
We're linked through Fox still.
I'm great. Yes, terrific.
You're going well, though?
Sam Stosur, she was done, Jared.
Do you hello and welcome to Melbourne Park?
Absolutely, I do.
Okay, hello and welcome.
Off the top, 11 a.m. on Gem.
Okay.
Channel 93.
How many people, just to repeat for those that weren't listening earlier, how many people were there? How was the atmosphere?
Atmosphere was a lot better today. Good. There were a lot more people today. Yep. There would have been more than 20 there, I reckon.
Okay.
I'm not sure why there were more people on Tuesday than a Monday. Doesn't really make sense to me. But hopefully, the people, particularly the ground passes, keep coming. The ground pass is the ticket to have at the moment because, you know, they're 50% capacity in stadiums. What was happening today is because there were 12 Aussies in action today. Mm. People were just going from one match. Like there was an Aussie on court three. Then there was Stosur playing on Kia Arena. And then, you know, people went and watched Jordan Thompson over at 1573. Aussies were just going from one stadium to the next, which was cool. So Sam Stosur was all but done. So this is her last slam.
Yes, I saw the match.
So she lost the first in a tiebreaker, and then she came back and beat Robin Anderson, who's got some weapons as well. So Sam's last slam in 69th lives on.
Given that you're the host of the secondary coverage, you're captain of the twos, who is she playing in the second round?
She plays the winner of Anna Bonda and Pavlyuchenkova. So okay. I assume that'll be Pavlyuchenkova. But Anastasia is capable of losing those sort of matches from time to time. And plenty more coming up at the tennis tonight, as we've talked a fair bit about, and we will talk to Jono. Hey, the cricket. I know we talked about this in the first hour briefly with Glenn Maxwell, who had some interesting insights. I just want to go over this again. So I don't know who the person filming was.
Right.
I mean, Zoe, our producer, thinks that it was one of the people telling them off.
Yeah.
Which I guess makes sense, because why would anyone else film it? But you saw, you know, Nathan Lyon there, and Alex Carey, and Travis Head, and Joe Root. 6 a.m., the sun was well and truly up in Hobart.
Yes.
And there's beers on the table.
Yeah.
I don't know too many people who can drink a beer at 6:30 in the morning, by the way.
Well, if you've been drinking them all the way through.
It's a long session.
Solid session. They didn't get back to rooms till 11, so.
Anyway, my respect for them only went up.
Okay.
It must be said.
Yeah, well, I think there's an investigation getting done by Australian Cricket Board. There's an investigation being done by the English Cricket Board. Do you know what that is? That is media management 101. They couldn't give a stuff about it.
And you know what?
As long as there was no damage and there was nobody worried or there was any violence.
If any news outlet tries to turn this into
a major issue,
it is just beyond a joke. They have finished the Ashes.
Yeah.
And great that the English captain was actually there with them.
Yeah, it was good. You know, and the Barmy Army was there the next day, today, drinking with the Australian players.
You know, it's funny, Jared. I don't know if you've been reading any of – so Dan Cherney, who I, you know, good mate of mine, used to work with at The Age, now at Code Sports.
Yeah.
He's been writing about this issue and no one's been paying enough attention to it.
A bit like the Novak Djokovic one in last November.
Yeah, or October, thank
you. October, yeah.
So the Australian Cricket Board got a slap on the wrist by Cricket Australia a couple of weeks ago.
Australian Cricket Board?
The Australian Cricket Boys, a few of the players, because they were taking photos and putting on social media, photos of them drinking alcohol that wasn't CUB,
right,
which is their major sponsor.
Yes.
So CUB went to Cricket Australia and said, hey.
Yeah, fair enough.
What the bloody hell?
Yep.
Anyway, then Pat Cummins, the Australian captain, last night on Channel 7 as we were sitting here, does an interview with 7 holding the Ashes, wearing a cap from St. Andrews Brewery, which is direct opposition to CUB. This is after they all got warned.
St. Andrews down in the back of Rye?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good get by them.
Great get by them. Great place for a beer, by the way. And then today, this video, just icing on the cake against CUB, the poor people at the CUB, is that the video that gets leaked, they're all sitting there drinking Bogues.
Well, the local Tasmanian beer.
Which is a beautiful beer, must be said. Yeah, but the Bogues premium.
Bogues is fine. Urban Alley, this place is.
Oh, Urban Alley's just in another category. They've been done twice or three times in the space of 3 weeks by direct opposition. It's a bit like if you were Dustin Martin at Richmond and their major sponsor is Jeep.
Yes.
And rocking up to a few press conferences in, I don't know, a Kia.
Yep.
Who was a great sponsor of this show. You know, like it's just, I don't know. It's gone a bit under the radar and I've been enjoying Dan Cherney's work on that. They were still in their whites, by the way, which I just thought was fantastic. And quickly in footy, Brisbane coach Chris Fagan.
They were still in their dull whites at that stage.
Yeah, I think they'd become creams. Chris Fagan has provided updates on Eric Hipwood and Cam Rayner.
Yes.
Hipwood's on track to return earlier than expected after that ACL. He did that against St Kilda in round 17.
Good.
Rayner missed all of last year, of course, with that knee against Gold Coast. He is on track to play in round one. They are two pretty important players for Brisbane, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the depth is what you need to win a flag. I mean, look at Melbourne. They had 5 players that would walk in just about to any other side.
Yeah.
Didn't play.
Yeah, so who didn't play in that game? Melksham didn't play. The forward who's re-signed. The young forward.
Wiedemann
didn't play. Hibbert only got in very late.
Your man didn't play as a co-host of Sports Day.
Tomlinson obviously out with his knee.
The Tonk.
There's 4.
Yep.
Hunt.
Yeah, Hunt didn't play. The bloke off the halfback flank didn't play. Anyway, they've got half a dozen out.
Yeah, well, we just mentioned 6. And, of course, Nathan Jones couldn't get into the team.
Couldn't get in.
So there's 6 without even thinking
about
it.
Had a surf with him today, actually.
How is Jonesy?
Going well.
I saw a video of him in did he do a triathlon?
He did a try on the weekend, yeah, Sunday.
Always fascinated by the professional athletes that, like, punish their bodies for the best part of 20 years.
Yeah.
Then they retire. And I'm thinking, you must just go and just sink beers and drink and eat badly for 2 years just to give yourself a break. They go run a triathlon.
Well, he's pretty much addicted.
Just relax, Jonesy. Just go surf.
Now, I did have something to tell you. I sort of suggested it in the first hour.
Okay.
I'm hearing.
This will be good.
I'm hearing there may be a major positional move for a very important player up in Brisbane.
Jay Danaher? No?
No.
Can you give me any clues?
He's the captain.
Dane Zorko.
The great Dane Zorko,
halfback.
I'm hearing, may be producing his wizardry.
At halfback.
At halfback.
Yeah, it makes sense. Same as Pendlebury.
Mm. Bit of rebound, a little bit more extra pace.
What at Collingwood's halfback flank this year? Pendlebury and Dacos.
Dacos going to come in on the halfback flank.
That's what I'm reliably.
I don't mind that idea. I think that's a good idea. Beautiful user of the ball. Well, good decision maker.
Lovely kick and a good decision. Exactly what they say.
I like that idea. No, it's a ripper.
Hey, you can win a barbecue. It's on now at APCO Cafe 24/7. Shop online and in store at Barbecues Galore. Tennis expert and the man that owes me a bottle of wine, Peter Johnson, to join us next. Welcome back to Sports Day. We're here for Red Energy, Cairns' most trusted energy retailer, and for Wilson Homes. You can enjoy the Tassie summer in your brand new Wilson home. Hey, Jared, as I was watching Ash Barty just dismantle her her opponent, Lysia Cherenko, last night, I thought to myself, tell you what, if you'd had a large bet on Ash Barty to win the tournament, that's the sort of start you'd want in round one.
Absolutely.
6-love, 6-1.
Yes, I think you're right. And the bloke who we're about to talk to, his crystal ball has been absolutely on fire because he declared that.
Apart from Novak, it's been good.
It's been reasonable on Novak. Novak, you're right. No,
I'm just teasing.
Novak was a blot on the crystal ball, little scratch.
It's a little.
But he did declare last night that do not undersell the tiredness, the letdown factor for the special K. Not so special last night, but Thanasi Kokkinakis.
And he also told us off air about Madison Inglis and the chance that she had against the US Open finalist, Layla Fernandez. And guess what happened today? Beat her in straight.
Let's welcome Peter Johnson. I don't think you've ever had a bigger build-up to that than that one, Jono. So you're batting 2 for 3 at this stage, but your take it to the bank probably does cost you a few rungs on the ladder. Welcome again.
Good to talk to both of you, and I'm sure that the batting average won't be the same by the end of the tournament, that's for sure.
Who do you actually like right now in the ladies?
Well, Barty, just by a long way.
I just want to get it on the record.
Stupid question in the end, Jack.
I wanted to get it on the record because there has been some dispute over claims. Todd Woodbridge wanted the replay of his bet with Scoot McClure, and he's not paying up until he actually hears the audio. So it's now on. You think she'll roll through Naomi and take out the very first Australian Open by a woman since, who was it? Was it Wendy
Chris
Turner?
Chris O'Neill.
Wendy Chris Turner, O'Neill, like of course, at Kooyong.
Yes. Yes, that's right. While we go now.
Jeez, it was a hell of a long time ago. Who was the last man? I know who that was. That was the mustachioed one.
That was Edo.
Edo.
Mark Edmondson.
Mark Edmondson.
1976, beat Nuke in 4.
Yeah, can you believe that we haven't won a title since 1976? Who won the flag in 76, Scoop? Who won the flag in 1976? 75 was North Melbourne. I reckon it was Hawthorn.
Literally 15 years before I was born.
Hawthorn won it in 76. I'm pretty sure. Check that out for a Scoop. Can you believe it's been that long?
It's incredible, especially when we've had some amazing players. Yeah. You know, you think our rafter was close. Leighton, I think, was massively close. I think, wasn't it 5 sets against Sapin in the final?
Cashy probably was went close. 5 setter.
Oh, Cashy, of course, 8-6 in the fifth against Willander. We can't forget that one.
Hawks beat North by 5 goals.
Yep.
13-22, 100 to 10-10-70 at the MCG. Mike Williamson and Lou Richards commentating for the Seven Network.
And 100,000 people would have been there. Jono, you were there today. Scoop reckons in his role as captain of the seconds, doing the gem coverage, he sensed a slightly bigger crowd.
Very nasty.
I can't do this interview. I thought the crowd was better today, Scoop. It's definitely felt more people around. Although, I think what's looking very light is the actual stadia. Medvedev had a little look in Medvedev. Very quiet in there. Simona Halep played on Margaret Court, very quiet. I think when the ticketed courts are the ones that are really getting hammered, it's more. But outside, I think great atmosphere on Court 3, and a good atmosphere around the grounds. The new court, that Kia court, had a good crowd in. So, and, of course, when the Aussies are playing, there's a real... because I guess, end of the day, we have no international spectators. We have none, very few from interstate.
Ticketed pre-season buyers, wouldn't it?
It's a lot of the circulation of the fear as well, Jared, that's going around. I mean, the state government calling a code brown for all metro hospitals today. Well, I mean, people here inside stadium, they're like, well, I'm not paying money to go, I might go for a walk around outside. People are scared.
Well, I spoke to somebody today who didn't want to travel simply because they knew that the hospitals in New South Wales are just about full. They don't want to be up there in case they need to go to a hospital.
Jared, I'm 30, right? A lot of my friends are of a similar age. A lot of my mates don't want to go anywhere because they're worried about being impacted for a future event. So they get to Tuesday and they say, oh, I've got a wedding on Saturday.
Yeah.
Can't go anywhere for a week.
Yeah.
Worried about isolation. Mm. I mean, this is the world that we're now living in. It's ridiculous.
I've got a friend who's expecting a baby in the next 2 weeks.
Yep.
Won't go within 20 metres of anybody. Of anyone. Yeah. Because if he gets it, he is he's not allowed to go to the birth, for starters.
Yeah, well, I mean, that I can understand.
And if his wife gets it, she's got to go to a public hospital, not a private hospital. It's all manner of...
Is that right?
Yep. All manner of incursions. So it doesn't surprise me. Good to see a little bit more atmosphere and people hustling around the blue courts.
So, Jono, can we just ask about a bit of tennis? You told us about Madison Inglis last night. She had a big moment in her career today. Tell us about it.
Well, she beat Leila Fernandez, who was actually the US Open finalist. You know, that was the most incredible US Open in memory for me, where you had two 18-year-olds playing in the final. She's Canadian and probably... You know, it just was going, obviously, clearly the favourite. Madison Inglis has won, I think, 4 ITF-level events. She's been solid, but normally playing the lower tour. But just shows you the leveller, sort of, for players coming to Australia. The wind's been blowing around a lot. Yeah. Madison Inglis is from Perth. I think you always get used to playing in the wind in Perth growing up. And I think for some of them, and I've noticed this even with some of the results today, you know, because some of the lead up, like the Sydney, the ATP Cup was all indoors. Adelaide's got a roof, and you get to Melbourne and you've got the wind. So a lot of these factors are sort of, you know, evening the playing field. But Leila Fernandez, Scoop, I mean, it's an interesting one because for her, she's only won, I think, 3 or 4 matches since the US Open. And same with Emma Raducanu, who's on tonight, plays Sloane Stephens, another US Open winner. So it's just been interesting to watch the tracking of those girls as well over these last couple of weeks.
Speaking of which, we've got an Australian girl who was on just before you came on air called Sharma. Astra Sharma. She looks a hell of an athlete. Looks like she could do a little bit more with her preparation for some shots, but she looks like she's got a big future.
Yeah, and Jared, she's had good results at tour level. Like, she actually won a tournament in Colombia.
Yep.
She's can legitimately beat top 50 players fairly regularly. Just, you know, very uncomplicated, very athletic, as you said. And, look, the girls are sort of assembling pretty well. You know, lots of good stories. And, you know, perhaps it's a bit the Ash Barty factor too, where she immerses herself with those girls and they can, you know, a little bit sort of, they see where the bar is.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a bit of all that. But, some really nice results so far.
Nick Kyrgios, I don't know about Jared, I have absolutely no
expectations.
Should I?
It's hard to have them, isn't it? I mean, apart from history, because he's playing on John Crane Arena, the favourite court at the favourite time. It should be the crowd should be really strong there. It's been strong with Murray and Bashilashvili, which has been an absolute... Oh, what a cracker that match has been. But I just don't see the matches under the belt. And, you know, Liam Brody, he plays, who qualified, you know, on class generally. Kyrgios a long way ahead, but Brody is solid. And the winner of that plays Medvedev, who just romped through his match today.
But surely
Kyrgios Medvedev would be... Oh, I'd actually have more confidence in him beating Medvedev than winning tonight. His record against top 5 players
is extraordinary.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
I suspect he'll war through this one, Jono. I know this guy's a bit of a tenacious tiger.
Well, you put the ultimate moz on Tanasi yesterday, so please don't do it again.
You'd reckon he'd be able to, like, even if he got out of bed yesterday, he should still be able to beat him.
Jared.
Yeah. Mr. Fearless Forecast Healy.
Yeah. Well, he's surely. I mean, I was just having a good warm up about half an hour ago. He's okay. He's all right.
Yeah.
Hey, he should roll through in 3 sets and get into the spa and get ready for Medvedev.
Hey, Jono, can I ask you about Alex Demonor? Jared and I were having a conversation a little earlier talking to Thanasi Kokkinakis's coach, and Jared and I were sort of going back and forth about his best, and we think that Jared thinks he could win a slam. I think he could be a top 20 player. Where's Demonor's ceiling, do you think? He's drawn to play Casper Ruud on Saturday night if they all get through and it works out.
And Casper Ruud is what a top...
He's eighth seed, I reckon.
Eighth seed, top 10. Wow.
So is Demon all going to be good enough to be at that level for a long time?
Well, I think Casper Ruud, by the way, just pulled out today, which does really open up that section for Dimonor. I think for Dimonor, a lot of things would have to go very right for him to win a slam. But I've seen him win 250-level events, get to the final of 500s, where he's just too hungry for these guys. You know, sometimes the week in, week out, the guys aren't quite there sometimes, or they might arrive at the city late and stuff like that. And you do, if you're playing Dimonor, you just look at the draw and go, oh my god, you know, I've just got to work so hard to beat this guy. So, and I've seen him have wins. I saw him beat Batista a good in Zhuhai in China, and just it was 2-2, and you know, we know how good he is, and he came off, and Batista a good said, just too good, just too relentless, and so. He's got the ability. If a few things just have to go right, though, for the seven matches at the Slams. I like him, actually, funnily enough. I like him on the grass a bit too, though, because I think he returns so well that hard courts on the grass are probably his best Slams. I don't feel like on the clay that's his game. But but the ceiling's not the top 10. Is absolutely obtainable, and look, with his draw this week and this tournament, you know, he could make some. He could be there very close to the end too. He's in that bottom half, Medvedev the seed, right down the bottom. As I said, Casper Ruud pulled out, so you know, good chance against anyone leading up to that match.
We spoke many years in a row about David Ferrer, who was ranked at one stage for a long time the fifth best player in the world.
He's ranked four, I reckon, for a long time.
Might have got the four, but he'd never won one couldn't win one.
No, he made a few finals, didn't he?
Because he couldn't, he just didn't have the ultimate. There was always that.
We didn't have the weaponry, really.
Didn't have the weaponry.
On the offense. He had an amazing defense.
Yeah. So, I mean, I suspect that Dimonor may struggle with the same, but as you say, if things go right for anybody, I mean, you can just, if you know, people get injured or the people get banned from tournaments because. They don't get inoculated or they don't take the vaccine. These things can open up. Were you surprised that France followed suit pretty so quickly, Jono?
I was. And, you know, that does definitely throw another curveball. The only thing I think on it is, well, we're you know, with the start of January, we're the middle of winter in France. You know, I think more plays out with third vaccines and fourth. I don't know. I wouldn't write it off yet. But, Jared, I'm not taking it to the bank that he's playing the French.
Good decision, Jono. Your record there is struggling a bit. You're 100% incorrect on your take it to the banks at this stage. But it was interesting, though. I mean, Macron clearly forced the issue. He's up for election, and it's clearly a vote winner for him. Because the sports minister only 10 days ago said, no, he can play. And yet... today, the sports minister had to eat his or her words and basically said, no, at this stage you can't play. Now, I'm not sure when the election is. If it's before the French Open, he's got no chance. If it's after, he's got about a 1% chance, I reckon.
Mm, and generally, I think this might be a little bit of the domino effect of the exemptions for elite talent and elite events sort of starting to dissipate. You know, I've always... ridden on that and said, look, you know, one thing about the Australian Open, it was the first one to actually mandate the vax prior to the exemption component, but that was very strong-armed. The tours supported it, and I felt like, gee, that's not going to be the norm. But whether this now suddenly, you know, begins to sort of, you know, take hold politically around the world, US, though, I just always feel like US, That wouldn't happen.
It's already happened. You can't get into New York. Yeah, you can get into some states in America. You can't get into New York.
Yeah, but I'm wondering whether there'll be the athlete exemption for the show going on. I mean, look, if you know, they're talking about with NFL that you can play with COVID on the field. You know, this type of stuff. I don't know, but it's look. I think winter is massive in the Northern Hemisphere in terms of the. You know, influencing this one. So,
I reckon it's overrated, Jono. it's summer right now, and it is sweeping through Victoria and Australia like you wouldn't believe. So I think that the climate may well have impacted on Delta, but Omicron, it doesn't give a stuff what the sun and the sundial says.
No, and look, that's a fair point. But I think we're still, 5 months away from the French.
Yep.
But that was a telling blow, that's for sure.
Jono, great to have you on. Chat tomorrow.
Thanks, guys.
Peter Johnson there, the voice of tennis in this country. David Ferrer, he made one final.
Yep.
He was wiped off the court in the French by Rafa in 2013. And he made four semis, twice in the US, twice in the Australian Open. Career high ranking of three. Did get to three in 2013 when he got to that final. But he was always ranked four or five, you're right. He's always seeded fourth or fifth.
What about Feliciano last night?
Yeah, what about him?
Well, 40 years of age. Did he actually say goodbye? I didn't stay up for the last few games.
I didn't stay up
Did
either.
He say goodbye to the Australian Open?
No, he'd probably come around again.
At 40?
John Millman got it done in 4-7-5 in the fourth.
I did stay actually around for the final. But
Hey, David Ferrer, story about him. So when I was working for 3RW as a... When I first started working on Sports Day as an outside broadcast assistant, there was an Australian player who I won't divulge the identity of, told a great story off air about David Ferrer, that the fittest guy on tour, but also a very infamous smoker.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Chain smoker.
That. Yep.
And one day at the Australian Open, after a first round match on his day off, he was standing on the balcony and he had about six darts and walked into the gym, put the treadmill on level 25, which is the fastest it went. Ran for 15 minutes and the treadmill broke. He was just one of those guys, Jared.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? Unbelievable you could be a dart smoker at that level.
Would have happened in, you would have had teammates like that though. Like back
No one like that.
In the 70s and 80s.
Oh, yeah, 70s and 80s.
Blokes drinking
80s.
And smoking until 4 a.m. and then getting up at 7 and running 10K.
Yeah, no, that happened all the time. But
similar.
Not a day in, day out smokers.
No. Well, that's true. And he was quite well known as being not only the fittest guy on tour, but also a chain smoker. Yeah. I'm not sure how those two things intersect.
I was in the last vestiges of era where players smoked a quarter time and half time and three quarter time.
Really?
It's frightening, isn't it?
That's unbelievable.
It is. That would have been 78. When did I start? 79, 80. I reckon it's probably gone by about 83.
We've come a long way in 30 years.
Yeah.
A long way. Well, we came a long way in 20 years, I guess.
Still, half time, you're 18 years old, and you walk in, there's blokes smoking cigarettes at half time.
It's a bit odd. More sports after this. Todd Langman is the coach of Thanasi Kokkinakis, Jared, and despite our best efforts, well, mainly you, but despite both our best efforts last night
to get him into the second week.
To get him into the second week, he couldn't get past the first hurdle, but as we know, Jared, in professional sport and tennis, and particularly we talked to Roger Rashid last night about the come-down factor.
Yeah.
It was always a chance.
Well, I'd be interested to hear what Todd Langman, his coach, has to say about this, because I reckon you could make a case that winning his first title was more important than progressing
to
the third round of the Australian Open.
Yeah, interesting.
I'm absolutely convinced that'll happen. But to win one, a big one, your first title, I suspect is more important, but let's find out from the man who has looked after him since he was virtually swinging a racket in the nappies. Welcome to you, Todd Langman. It's great to have you on board, albeit in a little bit of a disappointing circumstance.
Yeah, look, thanks very much for having me. It's been crazy last couple of days, but obviously we do want to get through to the next round of the Aussie Open. But we would never change it for the world, winning his first title back home. So, yeah, pretty special.
It must have been an amazing result. I mean, what did you put last night's flat result down? We know he's a much better player than that, but what did you put it down to? Simply come down? Was it fatigue? Was it physicality? What did you learn from that experience?
Look, I think myself, even walking into the stadium, I don't think I've ever heard a stadium like that.
Right.
Obviously, when he won his first matches when he was quite young, the Gulbis match was crazy, but just walking in yesterday, I was a little bit taken back by the, just the noise and how lively the place was. It was like a coliseum, and I think Thanasi coming off the high of winning Adelaide, the expectation was against a lower ranked player that he just rolled through him. But the case of the challenger guys, man, they can all play. So I thought Havman played really well. I thought Tanasi was a bit nervy to start with, and you know, maybe, yeah, he was a little bit flat, but he definitely went through the right process before the match.
Yep.
And gave himself best chance to get up for it. And yeah, it just that's professional sport. I think you know, the cards didn't fall his way through the match. He just couldn't quite get ahead to bring the crowd right into it, and you could hear them. They wanted to come in and really get vocal, but it just didn't happen. So yeah, all credit to Yannick and his team.
What about physically? Did you feel as if he was a bit flat, and would you do things differently next time round?
Yeah, interesting. I mean, we just had a sit down, you know, his trainer and other coach, Todd Lay, and we kind of talked a bit about that. But, you know, I think from where Finassi's come from with, yep, you know, his story, you know, once we sort of, you know, after the first week of Adelaide, him making a semi-final, just getting up for the next week in Adelaide was actually, it was, yep, actually a challenge in itself. And, you know, as he kept going through the rounds and he started playing some pretty good tennis, the match against Cilic was outstanding. And, yeah, we said, look, this is the priority. We want to keep going here. And, we went all in at Adelaide as we do in every match. And, yeah, he came out on the winner's side, and yeah, just it that was the priority, and we would deal with Melbourne when we got there. So yeah, I mean, I wouldn't change a thing.
Todd, in terms of volume, how much tennis do you want Thanasi to play this calendar year? I mean, obviously it's still weird times in the world with COVID-19, but it's also a weird time for Thanasi because it's been so long since he's had a good run at it, injury wise.
Actually, yeah. I mean, like, you know, a year ago we sat down and put a plan in place, as we tend to do. And, you know, last year, you know, people don't understand it. He played 23 tournaments last year. Obviously, they weren't the pro tournaments, but at challenger level for the majority of them. But, yep, you know, he got a lot of tennis under his belt. And, you know, obviously when you play the higher caliber players, physically, they're a little, you know, a little bit more demanding. So, look, we've got some goals that we want to try and hit this year. Obviously, we want to, you know, predominantly play pro event. But again, like, if he needs to play challenges, we know that we can drop down there, and it's just a case of balancing out the right amount of matches for his body. And yeah, the priority is getting him healthy at the end of this year, and that'll be 2 years in the bank with you know, injury free. So, you know, the trainer's doing an amazing job. Jonna, we got him from North Melbourne. So, yeah, we're just going pretty well.
So put into perspective, Scoop, and listeners, this is Thanasi's history, if you like. 2015, shoulder surgery. 16, finished the year without a ranking, coming back from that shoulder surgery. 17, ends the season after the US Open only. Fractured his kneecap in 18, suffers a torn pectoral muscle 19, didn't play in 20. Recovers fitness and wins your talent challenger title in 21.
How did he fracture his kneecap? That's a shocking injury.
Well, I'm not sure. Yeah, let's ask his coach.
That was in Monte Carlo. Yeah, that was.
I can't remember that, Todd. How did he actually do it?
Yeah. So he was going backwards. He was playing Kachanov in the first round of Monte Carlo, and yeah, really tight match. He's gone back and he's gone for a forehand. He's landed on one of the signs that was in front of the linesman. It's actually just, yeah, it's just, he landed on his knee. And again, we're off to get MRIs and, you know, kept him out for a little bit of time. But again, to his credit, you know, he, with all the setbacks, he's able to regroup and come back. And, he's a determined young man.
Well, he has to be. He's been into some black holes and some dark spaces, and he has returned. The first time I heard about him was John Fitzgerald. He was a Davis Cup captain. I was lucky enough to be having dinner with him. Jenny was putting the spaghetti on the table.
Were there more gins being had this time?
A couple of guys, a red man, Fitzy. That's why I don't drink with him. But nevertheless, he said we've got a couple, and he's been working and working and working and worried about the future of Australian tennis for so many years. And he spoke about a kid in Adelaide who he loved, obviously, because he's an Adelaide man himself, nearly, Kokkinakis, yep, and Kyrgios. And I mean, he was such a
special case, as we once called them,
special case. He was so ebullient in his praise for both of those gentlemen, but he just thought that they would collectively be able to lead Australia out of the darkness it was in. Now, we understand where Kyrgios is there. He's nearly there. He's got unbelievable potential. But your bloke has had to put up with so much, but yet I still feel as if it's just around the corner, just looking what you've been able to do collectively over the last 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, I mean, they're two pretty special kids. Obviously, you know, the first time I met Nick, he was just a young tacker as well. I think he was 11 years old here at a local tournament in Melbourne. So for them to go through and go through together, you know, I think it's a good thing for both of them. And funnily enough, when they are together, they actually help each other a lot. Yep. You know, I think Tanasi balances out Nick, you know, and they've got some common interests. And you know, some of their training sessions have been, you know, phenomenal. But again, I think if they can, you know, I think people don't understand that, you know, traveling full time, it can be pretty lonely. It can be a tough job. You know, last year, Tanasi was out of the country for 10 months straight. I was out for 4.5 months without seeing my family. It's challenging, but, you know, I think Tanasi, hopefully his time is now, and, you know, we're just trying to do our best in the moment and not try and think too far ahead. But I'd love to see Nick and him go really deep here at the Aussie Open in the doubles, and hopefully Nick can go ahead and stay healthy and go really well in the singles too.
So, Todd, all things being equal, what's the best-case scenario for Tanasi come the end of this year? Obviously, you want him to be fit and healthy, and I know you talked about, you know, just having another full 12 months.
From a rankings perspective?
Well, yeah, I was just going to ask him, does ranking actually matter for Tanasi at this stage? He hasn't been inside the top 100 for 6 years now. We all know what he's capable of, but as coach, where do you want him to be?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we have ranking goals. Again, like, we feel like if we can stay healthy and, you know, he can play enough tournaments, the ranking will take care of itself. This year he's going to hopefully, again, play more pro tournaments. So if we light it up every week like we did in Adelaide, that'll be great, but I'm not expecting that. There's some seriously good players out there, you know, right through to the challenges. So, you know, if we can play a full schedule and stick to our plan of, you know, finishing the year in Paris, I feel like we've done a really good job again. You know, ideally, you know, you want to try and get seated as quickly as you can for the Slam, so then, you know, you don't have to play the week prior to, and you can really control the week going into that Slam and, you know, physically hopefully peak for the Slam. So, yeah, it's just one step at a time, and you know, like these Fitzies and Mark Philippoussis, and, you know, there's some really, really great tennis people around, you know, Australia that want to see these guys do well. So, you know, they're always quick to offer some advice, and we really appreciate it.
What about yourself, Todd? How do you cope with being away from home for so long as a professional coach needs to do?
Well, as long as my wife's not listening, I actually don't mind it, because we've got two young kids, and I've quite enjoyed it at times. I think the first time, the first year I had my eldest daughter, she's 8 now, Alice, I was out the country 38 weeks that year, so that was challenging. So again, you know, that was part of the reason why winning in Adelaide was really so special, to have all of our families there that sacrifice, you know, so much to guess, give Tanasi the opportunity to do so well. It's you know, it really is a big team and family effort. And, you know, the joke from Todd Lay, who's Tanasi's coach, also, he was my best man at my wedding. He was he said, "Well, you know, you've been with Tanasi longer than you've been with your wife. So, what do you do?"
I hope she's not listening.
A very good evening to Mrs. Langman from all the way in Glenelg, if she's listening, Jared. Just a couple of little clips there.
Yeah.
Todd,
she's been great.
No doubt. She's obviously an amazing woman dealing with...
Adelaide or Port for you, Todd?
Oh, I think I know the answer to that.
Definitely a Port man. Definitely a Port man. My dad will hate that, but he's a Crows man. But, yeah, I'm definitely
Roger, like
Port.
It.
And, yeah, we're going to go good again this year. Well, it'll be our year.
You and Roger Rashid, I think you've got the tennis coach title wrapped up.
Yeah, we're happy to go any of those Crows players. No worries.
Todd, great to have you on. Obviously not the result that you and Tanasi and we wanted, but he'll be back bigger and better next year. Thanks for coming
Definitely
on.
Definitely will be. Definitely. Thanks, guys.
Todd Langman there, coach of Tanasi Kokkinakis.
They seem a pretty happy team, don't they?
Very good interview as well. Happy to. It's always the way, usually, with the international coaches,
yep,
is that they're, you know, media friendly and happy to chat, and I thought he was open and honest. I mean, that's what I was trying to get out of him at the end. He's a seeded Slam player,
yeah,
if he's playing regularly enough. You know, I mean, Demon Orr just got seeded this year. I think he's seeded 32. He plays tonight. Jared, Thanasi Kokkinakis is every bit the player that Alex Demon is, if not better.
I would have thought that. I would have thought he's got bigger weapons. I think...
yeah, he's got bigger weapons.
Demon yep. is Demon sort of where he's at the moment.
Gets he to a bit more.
Top 20, maybe.
Yeah.
Whereas this bloke, I think...
You think he could be special, don't you? You think he could be top 15?
I think he'd win
You think he could win a slam?
I think he could win one.
Jeez. Jeez, that's
I mean,
a big
it's
call.
A long way back from where he's at.
Big call.
But he's got a huge... I mean, if you can beat Marin Cilic...
Can Nick win one?
I've said that for years.
No, you can't.
But there's more to it than just being a brilliant tennis player.
As we've seen. He could get done tonight, by the way.
Well, I mean, you take every game this year, don't you? Because he's had no preparation.
Had COVID. Yeah. More sports after this.